The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, we give you thanks. Have we just prayed? Lord, we receive ministry from the Holy Ghost. We receive ministry through our Lord Jesus this morning. We receive empowerment of grace, sufficient for the administration of the allocations of God. We receive grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 20, chapter 20. Yesterday I began teaching on the message, the ministry, and our profession. I want to continue from there. So let's look at Acts 20. So we don't have my ministry in the New Testament. So there's nothing called Pastor Mika's ministry, Pastor Tyre's ministry, Reverend Busui's ministry. There's only one ministry, and we have received it from the Lord. Now, it is necessary for you to understand this, because you see, the allocation of the word of eternal life is only given to His order of ministry. So when I am not in that order of ministry, I don't have allocations. And it's so easy. When you are not in ministry of agriculture, allocations for that ministry will not come to you. It's simple. So you need to understand that the word of eternal life, the doctrine of life, is only committed to a kind of ministry. Because that ministry is given the sole task of vehiculing the operations of the Godhead to man. So it is crucial that this ministry be established if we are going to be faithful with the allocation that is coming. So let's look at Acts 20. We look at verse 24. We can start from verse 23. Amen. Okay. Verse 23. Let me use the book of Acts. Amen. Chapter 20. Okay, thank you. Save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me. We talked about this as the CV of the ministry of the New Testament. You cannot carry that ministry without having fellowship with the sufferings, the kind of afflictions that come with the gospel. Okay? By now we should have settled that. Amen. Okay, so look at verse 24. It says, but none of these things, I like that. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. So part of the criteria of being a faithful witness, we talked about that, is that you don't have a life anymore. You don't have a life that you count to yourself. Jesus is a taker of life. Jesus does not give you life except He has taken life. Am I talking? We are talking about the ministry. I cannot carry life except I lose life. Of course, it is consistent in the scriptures. He that what? Loses his life shall gain it. He that saves his life shall lose it. So if I want life, of course, life in this context is, if I want to profess life, I must lose life. So the ministry of Christ in the life of a carrier of Christ works first in the losing of life. You count your life as nothing. You count your life as nothing. It says, so I count, neither count I to my life dear to myself. I've said it before. I said, self is a terrible enemy of the gospel. Self is a terrible enemy of the gospel. If self is not dealt with, we can't attain unto godliness. So you can see that the professing of godliness will be impossible until that entity called self is demystified. Why in him must be demystified? Because he hides itself. You know, we have several versions of self. You know, Pastor Ty was teaching us that, you know, that the assassin works that has been done. He says there are other ones. You have some self that has hidden themselves in the terrible, in the walk in our hearts. That there is no way we can be competent to carry that ministry until self is decimated. So I cannot count my life unto myself if I will be faithful in becoming a demonstrator of godliness in the flesh. If I'm going to profess God, one thing that God will have done through the ministry of his son is to decimate self, destroy self, expose self. Now I'm going somewhere because you see, the key to the fellowship and the profession of eternal life is light. Without light, you can't profess. What did I say? That's where I'm going. Without light. So, light is the power to profess. That's why you see that if they call someone a professor is an enlightened person. He's enlightened. There's a kind of light that has raised him. So, you can see that his conversation is because of the light that he has received. You call them elites. You call some people elites. So light raises men. Light determines the conversation of men. So of course, we cannot profess God. The calling of God is the professing of God. We cannot profess God until light has caused us to access the very life that is in God. We'll talk about these allocations of light as we progress. So let me finish up with this. It says, so that I might finish my course with joy. I like this. So that I might finish my course with joy. Now this is the next point. He says, and the ministry which I have received of who? Of the Lord. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to do what? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I like that word, grace of God. That grace of God is also, it is also the calling of God. Because when the calling of God is a gracious one, full of the grace of God. Now, what the scriptures are saying here is that I cannot minister. We cannot have ministry that will vehicle the allocation of the word of eternal life except it be received of the Lord. So like I told you yesterday, there has to be the restoration of the ministry of the New Testament fully for us to see professions of eternal life demonstrated on the earth. We are not going to see it if this ministry is not working well. Can we say amen? Acts 26 quickly, from verse 16. Acts 26. Then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. I said a little bit about the message. I'll say some things again about the message. Like I told you, the message is one. Can we say that? Let's say it again. I cannot say that, even I myself, I don't make any boast before anyone. I don't have total grasp of the message. I am still learning. Okay? But I understand that but the message is one. Like I said, for us to have one calling, we must have one message. We don't have two callings, so there's no two message. So we must converge. Okay? Because you know, there's somewhere we have been journeying from. Like I said yesterday, we have been used to a certain kind of order of church or order of ministry. So when God is bringing his own allocation, at times it looks strange. But you see, the comfort is that we can bear witness in our spirit that what we are doing is of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
There's a witness. So let's look at Acts 26. Acts 26 from verse 16 is a common scripture. I heard Reverend K preach this over and over again. And it's become my own too, amen. Over and over again. Let's look at it from verse 16. This is the ministry of Paul. The describing the releasing of Paul. Now, there's something about Paul I want to mention, and I have people that can also judge that. I said that Paul patterns through New Testament discipleship. Let me give you a scripture for that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. Let me show you. There's something about the life of Paul. Now, I know the Lord Jesus is the pattern son. But there's something about Paul. The ministry of the New Testament actually started with him. The core of the ministry of the New Testament started with Paul. Okay? And then other apostles that Jesus raised began to follow suit. Of course, we know that Peter, James, John, and the other apostles eventually follow suit. But I just want to show you something so that you can appreciate Acts 26 very well as a spiritual standard to us. So that you cannot come and say, I have my ministry. No, there is a ministry that has been defined in the New Testament. We must find our expression within that for us to be able to do the work. There is a work description. There is a work description. It is specific. We must get that work done. And for us to do that, we must understand this ministry. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think verse 16. Okay, this from the KJV version. Oh, thank you so much. Our bid for this course. Okay, let's start from verse 14. Then we'll read down to verse 16. I want to show you something so that we can all but agree that there's only one ministry of the New Testament. And it has one thing it's doing. It is to make professions of God. It's to raise men that will profess God. So, because until Christ has been established in us, we cannot profess God. Jesus is the way to profess God. I think that's what Pastor Ty was telling us about an allocation of faith. Thank you, sir. He said so. And the grace of our Lord was what? Exceedingly abundant with what? With faith. So, because see, so grace in itself, you can break it down. You know? So, when grace is abundant, it means faith is operating. There's a manifestation of the faith that is in Christ. So grace, so when I was talking about grace is actually allocation of faith being measured. The faith of our Lord Jesus being revealed to us. So, and the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly abundant with faith and what? Love, which is in whom? In Christ Jesus. Now it says, this is a faithful saying and what? You know, there are certain things you read in the Bible that you need to pause over. When he said that grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, abundance of grace in faith and love, in essence, this is a faithful saying. When an apostle says something is a faithful saying, it means that this one, now Jesus talk come. This is a strong foundation in God. He says this is a faithful saying and worthy of what? All. That means we are not supposed to struggle with this. Every man, all of us, you accept this one. You know, there are certain things we can still argue in the Bible. We can still argue on tithes. So we can opt in. Of course, there are deep revelations as touching tithing that should settle. But people will argue. We may not be able to settle that argument. No. But you see, there are some things in the Bible that is worthy of all acceptation. It says so. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. So when you say sinners there, I'm sure what you are thinking of is an unbeliever. Tied you there. No. He says, of whom I am chief. This was an apostle. And you know, this does not look like positive confession. Does this look like a confession of faith? Pastor Tom said. A whole apostle of the New Testament say he's a sinner. If somebody says, no, this is works. This is not grace. Say positive things. We don't even know where these men are coming from. This man, after years, the epistle of Timothy, where they were rounding up epistles. They were not early epistles. He wrote it probably when he was in prison or so. I don't know the distance between 1st and 2nd Timothy, but I know that these epistles were held. Paul had journeyed for years. Let's go back there. Let me finish. It says to save sinners of whom I am chief. So it's not talking about, it's talking about the work of sin that is still ongoing in us even after our spirit is quickened. Paul knew that the profession of eternal life is for us to obtain eternal salvation. Because eternal salvation is God. So Paul was very realistic about it. You know, he was not joking with the obtaining of eternal salvation. He says, so to save the world, he says, of sinners. He says, I am chief. Now look at the next verse. This is where I'm going. He says, howbeit for this cause I what? Obtain mercy. Everybody say mercy. I obtain mercy that in me first. This is where I'm going. So what I say that he patterns the true discipleship, you know, that like a man was able to break forth into certain revelations of Christ, and it became a pattern for many that will follow. Well, so when we say New Testament ministry, we look somewhere. Paul gives us a template for how this ministry ought to be demonstrated, both in teaching and in lifestyle. When he was leaving the Ephesian church, he says, see, I owe no man anything. He says, I've not coveted anything. Not, that is ministry. Not coveted. Not. So, in other words, you couldn't hold him and say, Pastor Paul did this. So, the ministry has a description. It has an order. It has a consecration. This is what I'm still praying for in my own life. This consecration is deep, sir. Oftentimes you cannot even reason on. When you get some certain instructions from God, you wonder that God, why? He says, it is this order of ministry. The consecration is very deep and it is detailed. He says, I have it for this cause. I have said mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all what? All long suffering. Look, as you can see that this ministry demands long suffering. Why? It takes time to profess God. You may end up not even getting it here or in the flesh. So anytime you are praying for a long life, know what you are asking God for. Say, God, see, I need life so that I can profess godliness in the flesh. If not, it takes time to prepare a priest. It takes time to prepare a priest that will profess godliness. So he says to show forth all long suffering. That is the nature. Patience, continuance. Patience, endurance is the order of path that we must try to profess God. He says, for a pattern to them, who should what? Year after. So you can say, year after. For a pattern, who should year after believe on him unto what? Life everlasting. Life everlasting. So take me to Acts 26 quickly. Acts 26 from verse 16. We are looking at the ministry. So we have received this ministry of the Lord. So this ministry, like I said yesterday, is the priestly ministry of Christ that is allocated to teach the knowledge of Christ. I said yesterday that you cannot have life without knowledge. So until knowledge is brought to you, you cannot produce life. Life is a product of knowledge. So, but rise and stand upon thy feet. Even this one self is deep. This is a priestly calling, because priests stand. So this ministry is not just preaching. It's calling to function as a priest. You know, like I said yesterday, I said the teaching priest, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, don't move there, verse 3, it says, for a long time, Israel was without the what? The true God, the teaching priest, and what? The law. So, I bring that three together. I say, you cannot know the true God. You see, I always wonder why the Bible always qualifies God with true. Because, you see, not all gods are true. This God thing, we must get it. So it says, true God. Everybody say, true God. You may not know, Satan is a God. He is a God. And many are worshipping Satan without knowing. I don't know if I'm saying heresy here. I said, many are serving Satan. And they don't know because he veils himself. So many are worshipping Satan without them knowing. So there has to be an allocation that qualifies the true God. And the Bible says there are two things that are of note there: the teaching priest and the law. So the teaching priests are mandated to do nothing. They are taking a oath to only communicate the law, For the mouth of the priest should what? Teach knowledge. Should keep knowledge. And for the Lord is in his mouth. So, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To what? Make thee what? A minister and what? A witness. A minister and then a witness. We start by ministers, then we end as witness. Witnesses are holy trees. Those that are bearing witness to nothing but eternal life. When you look at them, you are seeing a witness of life. I believe that is where John the Beloved was writing from in his first epistle, in John chapter 1. He was writing as an olive tree. He was a witness of eternal life. And he says that, see, oh, we have our own kind of fellowship. Oh. He says, I'm writing these things to you that you may have fellowship with us. For truly, our fellowship is with what? The Father and the Son. So that fellowship is the fellowship of light. Can we say fellowship of light? That's the light fellowship. You cannot profess in that order without light. All the beings in that order, they are all enlightened. They are full of light. So, for you to be administered into that fellowship, light is what administers you into that fellowship. Amen. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things that thou art saying, and those things in which I will appear unto thee. Next verse. Delivering thee from the people. So those are priestly dealings. If God is going to raise a priest will be cut off from his natural genealogy. So when we still have natural ties, now I'm not saying this. I heard some young people says that Mr. Edwards sang, I leave my mother. So they left home. I leave my father too. So now you're no longer my mother. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. The Bible also teaches that we honor, you know, we have young people here. We honor our father and our mother. That is a commandment of Christ. Like marriage itself too is a commandment of Christ. God has only one commandment, eternal life. But Christ, as with Christ, there are commandments in the dimension of Christ. One of these is to love your wife. That's for a man. Another one for the wife is to submit to the husband. Those are Christ's commandments. Another one is for children to honor their parents. So when you don't have all that, you can't become Christ. So you need to get that. So I'm not talking about that. This deliverance is a severing from natural genealogy. Because Christ has no ties to the earth. Hello? Am I talking? Everybody say Christ. Christ has lost tie. Christ ends tie to the earth and begins genealogy of God. So, you can see why for you to be a minister, you must be delivered from the people. The things that hold the people down, the principles and the ideologies that determine living. Because you see, people are being governed by principles, patterns of reasoning, judgments, which are also allocations of light. For you to turn from a certain way of living, you must turn from a light. What we call darkness is not blackness. Darkness is a light that has raised us. It is a light that has determined our conversation. So, there says, delivering thee. It took them time to deliver Paul from this. Reverend, when you were on taking that, immediately he began preaching. And they shut him down. They sent him to Arabia. You see, that Arabia is not just a physical location, it's a spiritual training for ministry of the New Testament. If they don't send you to Arabia, they can't deliver you from the people. So deliverance was administered to Paul in Arabia. He was rid of. Before you to stand as a priest, you know where these things are going. Sir, God is going to raise priests from every tribe that will stand on behalf of the allocation of God for those tribes. And the only way they can do that work is that they have been delivered. So, Reverend Busuya has been delivered from Ondo. You are in Ondo, but you are not off Ondo. so that you can stand for the allocation of Christ in this territory. You must be delivered. Delivering it from the people and from the Gentiles who are now sending. Let's quickly look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from what? So this is ministry of New Testament. Turning from what? Darkness. This darkness is a light. It's the light of this world. And the light of the cherub, the covering cast that has veiled nations. This darkness is what has raised men for ages. So they say you cannot qualify to profess God until your darkness has been demystified by the allocation of light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may what? Receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among men that are sanctified by faith in me. Can we say amen?
Amen.
1 John chapter 1. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have what? Looked upon, and our hands have handled. So those are the calibrations of profession. That's how you grow in the order. For you to profess, you must have handled. It means that the season for them to make you a priest of the New Testament that has now moved into. These men were priests, but they were not just priests, they were sitting priests, so they had crowns in the spirit. I believe that John was seated when the Bible was writing to the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation chapter 3. It talked about that he that overcomes will I grant the right to sit on my Father's throne as I overcame and I'm set there. So it means that they were calling men into eternal glory, not in heaven on the earth. Those allocations were available for those churches. It means that I can profess God here. That's the calling. To profess God. So that was what John was writing. John was writing to Christ churches. When I mean Christ churches, I mean churches that have followed in the doctrine of Christ for a very long time. John took the allocation from Paul. So you understand that he was not writing to churches that don't have understanding. These churches had learned to a degree the doctrine of Christ or the revelation of the Son, or what we know as what the faith of the Son. So Elijah says that still, at our hands are bound as the word of life. Now look at the next verse. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness to you. Life has manifested. But when life manifested, we saw it, but it manifested in us. I'm talking about the ministry of the New Testament. For you to preach eternal life must be revealed in you. This is a very strong thing. Because God is also raising ministry of the New Testament from this kind of place. So, eternal life must be revealed in you. He says, for life was manifested and we have seen it. In other words, we have insight into it. We have sighted the DNA of eternal life. They understood the code of God. We have seen it. And we have not just seen it. We have what? We are bearing witness. We are an olive tree. These are olive trees. Ministering from the holiest of all. This kind of ministry is beyond just speaking. It is what? Moving things into men. Olive trees move things into men. Operations of God into men that show you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. I'm only trying to show you, look at the order. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye may have what? Fellowship with us. So what causes fellowship are things declared. Fellowship is not just a good idea. I want to fellowship with Pastor Thompson. No, there must be a conversation. There must be things received for us to fellowship. So fellowship is a product of things moved. We need to move things to create fellowship. So we can only have this fellowship because of things. So he says, that you should have fellowship with us. He says now, our fellowship is with the Father In the Godhead, there are calibrations of fellowship. No one starts by fellowship with the Father. No one. You can't fellowship with the Father. The Father is dwelling in light. The light that no man can approach. And when you get born again, you are still flesh. So flesh cannot handle the light that the Father beams out. So you know who they send to you first? The Holy Ghost. Of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost can handle you in your infirmities. Very soft. He's gentle. He's the one that leads us. He trains us. When the Holy Ghost has trained you for years, it moves you to the Son. Then you now begin to hear revelations of Christ. You begin to receive revelations of Christ. Revelations of Christ are not for show. I keep saying this. Revelations of Christ are for purging. The Son is a sanctifier. His revelations are mara, 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 ewekoro. I know some instructions of Christ that I've received that were painful. They were painful. Sometimes they manifest in marriage. They manifest in your relationship with your brethren. You know that the revelation of Christ brings us into charity. And charity is a kind of fellowship. They will give you some instruction that will kill you as a pastor. I remember that there was a lady in our church one time that says that I don't answer when she greets me. So she was beefing me big time. I was looking, the girl was a very funny girl. You know, some are very unpastorable. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, you don't determine flock that comes. And God is the one that brings them. And God said, pastor this one. You know, I had to go and beg the girl. I've never done it before in my life. That was death. To beg a member of church. She was not even a serious one. You know, yes, when you have serious members, you can't even beg them. Very unserious. I had to go and beg. I was shocked that I did it. But Christ commanded me, say you have to do so. He said, you have to lay down your life for the sheep. That's when I knew that her. And you know that simple act changed their heart. So at times, ministers beg. You beg, Edwema Binu. I say that every time. I found out that without knowing, I'm even offending people. I would beg. So as I was begging, because you see, I grew up in a family that I didn't used to beg. So even though I was a preacher and I was a saint, I still had a law inside that heaven had not dealt with. So they prepared a flock for me to also save me. Even marriage. I remember in those early years of my, I begged my wife well. Sweetheart, what should I do for you? She was like, I said, Ma Beno. Kim was for you. She said, I begged. I learned how to beg. Thank God for my wife. Now, what I'm trying to teach you here, you cannot handle God except Christ has prepared you. Christ is the one that prepares you to profess God. You see, this team is the ultimate of our calling. This is where we are going. Now, you cannot get there until Christ must approve you to be a professional of God. Christ is the one to approve you for you to profess God. No man can profess God except him that the Son has raised. Of course, you know the Son speaks things not of himself. Everything the Son speaks are things given to him by his Father, by his God. So truly our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you. So this we is those that were witness. They were only witness. We, there is a we that heaven has given the custody of secret things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says that men ought to consider us as stewards of the mysteries of Christ. So to be a steward is to keep things. You keep things that are secret things of God. You are a keeper. So it says, these things we write unto you that you may come into what? Joy. Amen. Please take me back there. And these things we write unto you that what? Your joy may be full. Then this then is the message. This then is the message which we have what? Heard from him. And we what? Declare unto you that who? God is what? Light. God is the light. Of course, that light is our profession. God is the light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. So, the light that is in the sun is that which comes to us in degrees. The light of God is the countenance of God. So, you see, in Numbers chapter 6, it says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord be gracious unto you and make His face to shine upon thee. Then the Lord lift up His countenance." For a man to have God's countenance, it means that the face has gone before countenance. Face goes. You know, face goes before countenance. That face is the light that Jesus emits. Jesus emits a light for you to take the countenance of God. So, look at, let's go back there. It says, this is the message, God. You see, this message, when I say message, what you think of is something to preach. Yes, we preach it. But it is a life. God is the message. The calling is a message. It's the message. And is life. Is light. And in Him there is no darkness. There are no shadows. There are no variations in Him at all. Let's take a jump. Start from Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, let's start from chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, Paul could not teach, enter into the New Testament. Paul could not enter. The whole of 1 Corinthians, Paul was teaching issues. Then in 2 Corinthians, you know, I'm sure there was a distance between 1 Corinthians and 2. It's very clear. They had grown. So they could take doctrine. So Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, began to rivet in the ministry of the New Testament. You understand? I want us to go there, but we are going to still come back there. But let's go to verse 17. So I'm moving to verse 18. I'll still come back to verse 17. Chapter 3, the early verses. It says, "Now the Lord is our Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?" These are administrations of Christ. They are Christ operations. Administered to prepare men for God. Now it says, "But we with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being changed from what? The same image from what? Glory to glory, even as by what?" Now, he was describing the operation of transformation that happens in a vessel that is conversing with the light that the sun emits. So, the light that the sun emits is for nothing but what? Changes, turning. We need to turn and turn and turn until we are turned to profess God. A soul that will profess God as is coming to a place where he's abiding. He's an abider. Now, in our way to chapter 4, this one, it says, "Therefore, see that we have what? This ministry," chapter 3. So there is a this ministry. This is not my ministry. It's not Reverend Busui's ministry. It is the ministry that we have received of the Lord. And it is for raising professionals of God. Those that we profess God. He says, "Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, we have received mercy." Remember, we saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 16. Where Paul says that, "For this cause have I obtained mercy." We have received this mercy. We have received mercy. We faint not. So if you don't receive mercy, you will have fainted. Since you cannot move things of God without strength, without help. Now, next verse. "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." So you can see that the ministry of the face is the one that begins to search out the hidden things that makes a man not presentable unto God. The hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. You know, you can start this part, you are still crafty. You have all kind of craftiness. You know, you have motives inside of you that wants to still, you know, prepare something for you. So, you know, You are faithful, but you are not completely faithful. So you declare 90% for Reverend Busi, but you keep 10. So you know there's still a crafty way inside us. It says that this ministry has a way of bringing us under judgment, where the hidden things of dishonesty must be confronted. You know what I mean, hidden things? I'm talking about envy, competitive rivalry, jealousy. No, brethren, last year we began to talk a little bit in an analysis about the Feast of Charity. Now, these are things that, brethren, I'm talking about sincerity of the heart, true love for one another, no rivalry, no camps, no allocating for ourselves, no trying to. I am glad for when God is raising Pastor Tom, say, I am rejoicing. You understand? I used to say it. People are friends until when God raises one. Voila starts. When we are coming to God, we are blameless. When we are coming to be priests of God, we don't have anything that is like a shadow in us. So those are the things that God will begin to confront. Craftiness, dishonesty, deceitfulness, all are works of the heart. They are oftentimes you start by them purging you from the works of the flesh. Then later they now take you into works. The operation of sin that are hidden in the heart. The ministry of Christ now begins to launch deep. To begin to remove those things that make us blameful before His sight. There is a ministry called the ministry in the sight of God, where man can fully profess God. Now it says, by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, what? To every man's conscience in the sight of who? This is in the sight of God. In the sight of God. Whatever our gospel be, it is it unto them that are lost. He is writing an epistle to the church. Lost sheep always in the house, amen. Yes. So this is not talking about an unbeliever. Unbelievers are dead. Their spirits are dead. They need to quicken that spirit. So for those that are lost, are those that they are strayed away. They are sheep, but they are strayed away. And to stray away does not mean you are not coming anymore. So, Pastor Tyre, I can stray in my heart. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend. So, Satan was still with God when he was saying that. Well, when I mean that, you know, everything that happened did not happen. It happened first within. Of course, I understand that, you know, some of them were manifested physically after he disconnected from God. But you see, there is nothing that appears that did not first conceived on the inside. So, if our gospel we eat is into them that are lost. Now, next verse, quickly. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded who? The minds of them which believe not, lest the what? Life. This is where I'm going. Lest the light. So, Satan blinds souls for light, because light is the deliverer. To deliver you from a profession to now prepare you for the profession. You will not profess God until you are read, either you like it or not. We are all professing something. We profess gods, idols, professions of several idols. You see a Christian at his canal, he has a stack load of gods in his archives. Just like an Indian does not have one God. Indians have many gods. An Indian can have six gods in his house. God of rain, God of sun, God of protection, he has six. You know, you can have gods hidden places of our hearts that we are serving. So lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Psalm 36. So the light of Christ is the conversation for turning. For us to access the verse 7. For us to access the light of God. The calling of God is the manifestation of life. Eternal life is the manifestation of God, and God is eternal life. Of course, this is life eternal, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So they sent him for us to know God. The coming of Christ is not for himself. Jesus is a speaker of things that can draw man to God. So how excellent is thy what? Loving kindness. He's talking about God. So when we move into the realm of God, we are moving into the realm of what? Love. Oh God, therefore the children of men put their trust where? Under the shadow of thy wings. This shadow of their wings, the operations that beneath their operations that prepare us for God. You see, the wings of God are healing. They administer healing. You see, healing itself is an administration of light. When God is healing a soul, you can see that in Acts chapter 28. When God is healing a soul, it is through the administration of the light of Christ. Christ is the one that heals us and binds us, that we may profess God. And that's why the Bible says the Son of Righteousness shall arise what with healing in his wings. So thou shalt be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of what? The river of thy pleasures. Verse 9. For with thee, talking about God, with thee is who? The fountain of what? Life. I like the word fountain. It means it's always fountain. It's a fountain. Is fountain. It's found. When they say something is fountain, it means that he's secreting himself. So eternal life is inexhaustible. God is... You cannot explain God. God is not explainable. God must be revealed. What did I say? You cannot explain God. God must be revealed. So the life that is in God is always fountain up. You know? Jesus talked about a river that is always welling up, springing up unto eternal life. For with thee is the fountain of life. Now this is it. This is how we profess God. In thy light shall we see light. In thy what? Light shall we see light. So God is light. So the message is God. Can we say amen? Amen? So when we say message, this message is the entity of who God is. This is the message to us. The message is that man should demonstrate God. That's the message. That's the message. The message is that man should bear witness to God. Then God sent his son as the first of that order. So Jesus came to do nothing but to bear witness to God. So Jesus was preaching, teaching, healing, casting out devils. Well, that's not the work that he came to do. He became a priest, demonstrating what it means for man to actually profess God. Jesus began to learn this profession when he was on the earth. So light began to come to him. Jesus himself received light. Without light, you cannot demonstrate God. So Jesus came under allocations of light. Light upon light. At Jordan he was declared a priest. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Even after Jordan, Jesus began to journey more. He journeyed from Jordan to the Mount of Transfiguration. He transfigured before them. Peter and James began to build around the experience, not knowing that what he did was beyond the experience. Jesus was waiting for a commendation. Jesus was living his life in total dependence on heavenly approval. His approval was not from men. His approval was from him that he was called to witness to. So when Jesus was upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus got another commendation. This is my what? Beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That was almost weeks before his crucifixion. Look at how long it takes for us to be approved by God. By God. The approval of God is serious. You see, when it comes to professing God, I'm about rounding up. When it comes to professing God, it takes years of training, years of pruning, years of denial. Let me quickly show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, quickly. Still talking about the ministry. That's why you need patience. When you are hasty, you cannot profess God. Some people were waiting for, what is the sign? This message is not working. There are no signs. Someone said that there are no results. I said the result is eternal life. No, you didn't get what I said. Let me say that again. What did I call the result? It's eternal life. And when it comes to eternal life, you don't have the right to know when they set the exam. You cannot tell God, I want to sit for exam. Approve me now. No. The Father approves in His time. What are our signs? Our signs are not healing, raising of the dead. They are not. Will we do them? Yes. Will we make noise about them? No. Our signs are redemptive. Our signs are the manifestation of divine nature. Listen to me very well. Our signs are the working of divine nature in man. Our signs are divine. They are not even spiritual. They are beyond the realm of spiritual. They are divine. They are God. And when you are waiting for God, when you are waiting for God, you will wait until you are expired. You know who can only wait for God? Christ. No man can wait for God. Because God does not live in time. So the only person that can endure God is Christ. That's why in Christ's light, we can now see God. It is when Christ is being formed in you that you can hope for the glory of God. Let me just read through this. Amen. We then as workers together with him beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is what? The acceptable time. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Those are operations of Christ. Because each day is a day for salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, next verse. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry may not be blamed. You know, when you get into these places, you pause. You pause. So, Satan can bring blame. When we break the ethics of this ministry, not this order of ministry, there are ethics that protect it. When we break them, the enemy goes in the court of God and begins to bring blame. Now those people, they have broken the hedge. They have not patiently endured the training unto eternal life. So God, you cannot approve them. So you see, a generation can come and they will not enter in the rest. God will wait for them to go. God will not bless them with immortality. God can give us immortality and we still go on to glory. Immortality is that our legacy is preserved. So I can be blessed with immortality and still put my body away. So to have immortality is to have the approval of God. And so generations come and go and none can God bless. When God blesses something, that thing stays. That thing abides. Those people, that's why, you know, of the 144,000 company, I believe that they may be taken from every generation. That's it. You have some of them that were in former generations that we did not meet. That because they did a conversation before God that was so rare that God had to bless them. God approved them and they became part of the brethren of Christ. But in all these things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. In much what? These are the ethics that govern it, Pastor Tyler. If we don't have this, we are finished. And let me tell you, the greatest war that Satan has won is for us to lose these things. We lose it, we become a sounding brass. In much patience, In afflictions, you don't see this as CV of ministering today. In necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by pureness, we must be pure. Pure. Purity from the heart. Undefiled. By knowledge. By long suffering. So those are the things that are around the ministry that we have received of the Lord. If we are going to have the integrity to preserve for the allocation of the world to raise priests of God. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost. Look at this one. By what? Love unfeigned. Next verse. By the word of truth. By the power of God. By the what? Armor. The armor of righteousness is also the armor of God. And it's also the armor of light. By the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. By honor. By what? God will make sure that we are dishonored. It's not Satan, it's God. It's our part. They will dishonor us. Well, well. You will speak one powerful message, people will yield to you. I've gone into places that I was despised. I was despised. And the joy, you know, when you minister in Tala Life Embassy, there's joy. My joy died. And God said, you still preach. I said, Kai, go see flow. I have to be finding the flow. Dishonor. In dishonor. In honor. In dishonor. Yes. I don't know why. My teaching yesterday and today is just fashion. And because you see, the ministers, God is putting attention on the ministers. And a true work has to be done. A very complete work. The one that will last. Brethren, we have seen all kind of move come and go that they did not last. Pastor Mika, there was no substance. Sir, Pastor Tayo, people fade in 20 years. I'm sorry to say this. I want to say this. I say it under you, sir. Look at some of our fathers. When they started, look at them now. Some of them like in the shadow of what began. But in the order of the New Testament, our light gets brighter and brighter. Sir, it means you are more deadly at 80. You think John was 90. Look at what it was. Look at what John was pushing. In this order, we don't lose cutting edge. That's why we have to pray that God will keep our own. Because, Pastor Mika, the longer you live, the better for the church. Stronger one I need. We get better with age. Listen, no matter how I weave anything, I cannot outrun Reverend Busui. Reverend Busui already has steps ahead of me. So my prayer is for him to continue. I will catch up. But let him continue. Because as he's continuing, he helps me to continue. This other is a different one. We get better with age. We get more terrible with age. We get more terrible with age. So we cannot afford to fade in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, in 50 years, in 100 years. We must become eternal. Ageless. That's the ministry of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you. Verse 8. By honor, by dishonor, by evil report, I will not quickly take anything that rises against any of you. We cannot afford to do that. If I hear anything that happens to any of you here, I will not take it. I will wait. Because we injure one another quickly. When we cannot patiently trust, I will trust you to the end. I will trust you to the end, and even when that thing is true, I will protect you from Satan. We may fight you inside, but outside we will protect you. We need to learn these skills. If we don't learn this thing, we won't go far. You hear some things and you just hear some things, they just bring evil reports are terrible. When I say it's a report, You know the way they report from China and TVC? The thing will be well packaged. It looks true. It takes discerning. It's not even this. It takes love. Not you, for you to believe some reports. They are so true. Pastor Maker, so Pastor Maker can do this. Evil reports. Intelligently woven lies. It's Satan. Intelligently woven to discredit what God is doing. An evil report. Oh.
Have that, please. One of the pastors.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For you will need to watch this, for they are spot in your feast of charity.
Yeah.
You will need to take heed to these things, for they are spot. For I must present you spotless.
Amen.
I must present you blameless. And I'm also walking. I am walking in you to make sure that you are perfect. To make sure that spots are taken away. That as I release my words, they deal with these spots. They deal with these spots. For until your charity is completed, you will not see my God. You will not behold my God. Until you partake of this feast to the fullest, you will not behold my God. And we have come to also purge you.
Amen.
To purge you. That your love may be unfeigned. That you will come into an unfeigned love. Love that has no blame. Love that has no spot. We will cleanse you. See the Lord.
Amen. I just have a little bit of, just give about 15 minutes. Thank you for that tongue. I just feel that the Lord wants me to say one or two things again. Okay, thank you. By dishonor, by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers, and yet true. Those are the contradictions of carrying the word of eternal life. I know you know what I'm talking about to a degree. As unknown, yet well known. As what? As dying and behold, we live. This ministry. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Can you explain this, Pastor Moses? As sorrowful, yet you're always rejoicing. This one is, you are rejoicing within, but outside is sorrow. It looks sorrow, but inside there's joy. Endless joy. At times, sir, we don't even have power to stop some things. You don't have power. To demonstrate power, it is by the leading and permission of Christ. I cannot even do some things because I think I can do it. I must get permission. So, at times, things will fail around us. And in the midst of that, we must stand strong. At times, you look weak. So, yes, making, now it says, as poor. Yes, what? Making many rich. as having nothing. You see, sir, we must raise this standard. I was reading about the story of Pius JLT. I read it, but I've not read the book. It's autobiography. It was written by one of our friends. You will know him now, Pastor Thompson, Deji. I read it to a point, I just stopped it. I said, wow, this man taught something. Some certain consecration. I'm not talking about his life. And if you look at those apostles too, they were like that. There's a kind of life. You cannot, there's just this kind of way. We live in the midst of plenty, but yet we have nothing. It's a mystery. We must learn it. Pilate fought to have anything. You could see his fight was not to have anything. He did so. I think it was like a commandment. You see, you know, there are certain commandments you don't get until you hate. You may not understand. At times a preacher can look at that and say it's a failure. But when you now look deeply, you grow. Say, man, you bunk. There's something that he was keeping. He was keeping a law in a dimension in the spirit. A consecration. And you know that, sir, we all have Nazarene consecrations. If you break that consecration, you lose power. He says, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Take me to 1 John chapter 3. I'll stop there. It's all conjugal, but let's go to verse 7. Let's beat it down. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that what? Do it. Because see, so you can see, John was teaching profession. That is, John was finishing conversation that the other apostles began. He was particular about doing. You know, when we say doing, it's different in this order. Remember that James talked about, you know, the perfect law of liberty. It now says that he that doeth the work. 1 John chapter 1 verse 25 says, he that doeth the work, whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Quickly, take me there. Thank you, sir. Be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That's the work. That is the work. That is the description of you actually professing God. There's a work. Aha. He says, whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, you can see that. That continued therein is actually the activity around Christ. If you don't continue, you will not get Christ. So that's why you can see that somebody, you were telling us about somebody that, some of those guys that you were teaching, telling us yesterday. The reason why is that they didn't continue. So you see somebody blossoming in his early years of ministry. Does not continue, he will lose it. The key to Christ is continuance. Yes. Hold fast. If you don't continue, you will lose it. Look at all this beautiful thing that is happening. If we stop, it will go. It will disappear. God will have to go and raise another. So this one, there's no boast. You have to continue. Me. Our sustenance is in our continuance. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So this is the work of righteousness. The doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed. They say a blessed man. A blessed man is a God man. God! That's why they say you are blessed. That is, you are God! That is the blessing. The blessing is God! He shall be blessed in his deed. Now, take me back there. So, he that doeth what? No. He that doeth, take me back quickly. He that doeth righteousness. No. Verse 7. He that doeth righteousness is righteous! Even as he is righteous, this is a different realm. And some say, no, I don't need to do righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is for children. For God profession, you must do righteousness. You must practice righteousness. You must be a practitioner. That's the difference between a medical student and a consultant. A medical student is still learning. A consultant is practicing. Even as he is righteous. Verse 8. Quickly. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might what? Destroy. Who? The works. So there is no way we can profess God until the works of the devil has been completely annihilated. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. So that means that the training unto professing eternal life is to deal with sin. For his seed remained in him. This is not by faith, it's by practice. When I say by faith, not by faith that we know, but the faith of the Son is a practice faith. It's a practitioner faith. The faith in the Son professes. So when you are obeying faith, you understand, a law is being terminated. It's called work of sin. And he cannot sin because he is what?
Born
of God. Of course, we know that being born of the Spirit is different from being born of God. Being born of God is to be raised as a professor of eternal life. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whatsoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. He cannot be called a professional of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. Look at where I'm going. So it means that for us to profess God, we must perfect charity. We must perfect charity. Let's quickly run through. For this is the message you have heard. Look at it. So you see, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. Why? Next verse. Not as Cain. Who was of the wicked one? What was wicked in Cain was what was inside him. And he slew his brother. So you can see, I say brethren. You know, I told you about the brethren last year, that God is raising brethren out of saints. These brethren are those that will be qualified to profess God. Who was of the wicked one and slew his brother? And why therefore he slew him? Why am I slaying Pastor Buzui? Why? Why? Kili, why in where? Why don't I like you? And those are things we need to ask. Kilo and no me see you like him. What is it? Let us confront that thing. Eh? Why don't I like Pastor Thompson? Why don't I like Reverend K? Why? Kim Baba Yeshe. You know, for someone like Reverend, I'm there to say, I see someone, Reverend is a very unfindable person. Yet he has a lot of enemies. I don't understand. You know, there are some people that are naturally offensive. I know Reverend, I just play. Say, Baba me, you know, just play with everybody. Yes. What is it? What is it? How is it? You know, some people are offensive. They are tough, so they will offend you. This is somebody that just wants to. That is what we are talking about. And so at times we must confront this thing. Why don't I like Pastor Alfred, for instance? I don't know if like that Pastor Alfred. I don't know. He's not. I don't even know. I don't even know. At times in marriage, you confront it. A woman just says, you know, I need space. What is this space? I just say, what kid this space? You know, what are you looking? What space are you looking for? When you are married, there's no more space. Amen. Well, they have enclosed the space. Sweetheart, just give me space. What is this space you want? We have to probe that. What's the space? Sweetheart, just give me space. I just need some space. I need some break. Someone say I need break. I see they are driving somewhere, so they just want to break. I need break. Okay. So in the light of Christ, these are the things that will be confronted. If not, we can't profess eternal life. So wherefore, why is doing? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. Marvel not, my brethren. So he was teaching brethren. He was not teaching saints. These were epistles written to brethren that were they were pursuing the high calling in God. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know we have what? Passed from death. So we can have death in a brethren company. Death can stay. When we don't obey certain laws in Christ, death will stay. We pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in what? Death. Oh my God. That is corruption. Corruption is still walking. These are spots in the feast of charity. Whoever hated his brother is a murderer. You can see the definition of murderer now. Very high one.
And we must obey this to what? Profess God. Either his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has what? You can see that we are talking about eternal life. No murderer has what? Eternal life in him. In other words, no murderer can profess God. Hereby perceive we that we love God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to also what? Lay down our lives for who? The brethren. This is a law. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just pray. Can we just pray? And let us just receive help from God. Let's receive help. Many last suffered. Jeleparia to livadaya. Uraba kerebedita sisevedeta.
Amen. Shout hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a big hand this afternoon, please. Do well. Let's bless the Lord for this release of grace. We may have a seat. Thank you very much. But it may just have labored so much. This is a thorough walk. This is a thorough walk. It's a diligent walk. I don't have to ask you if you are blessed. I know you are tremendously blessed. Because he opened, God helped him and used him to really open up this theme. Open it up in depthly and with a great extent of accuracy. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you preach, you speak, others sit and judge what you are saying. I know you were speaking on the Spirit, but it's just the help is so much. And we go to just take time and appreciate God for it. Can we just appreciate the Lord and bless the Lord for this? Thank you, Father, for mercy. We give glory and praise to you. Thank you. Amen. It's clear there's no place you can ever get to in this pursuit that your head will swear. There's no place. There's no place. Why? The stake is high. Paul called it the high calling of God in Christ. It's for those who are in Christ. Anyone in Christ. This is the high calling of God. Amen. Praise God. So the stake is a very high stake, very high, and it's good that it is preached so that you will know that we have a long way to go. When we say that, we're not trying to just make, you know, it's clear, it's in scriptures, and that's why you are going to move to from a point of walking to racing. We have to finish it racing. Let us run with patience the race that is set. At the point we leap, we learn to stand. At that point we learn to walk. But we can't walk through, we run through. But so when you want to run, you need energy. Then you need focus. Or else you will run off track. It's easier to walk and to keep in track. I think you know that. But if you're going to run and not miss the track, you need energy. You need focus. So when you hear Paul say, we do not fight as well as beat the air. We do not run as well as we run with accuracy. So the vision has been imprinted into Paul. So he can run. So thank you for bringing the picture back as it is painted in our heart. So that we can, from any level we are in, we can make progress. Hallelujah. Are you blessed with this? I love this. I enjoy this. To me, this is my meal. If you have any other thing to serve with it, please come and serve it. You have gift of healings, you have gift of prophecy, you have gift of faith, gift of anything,
You can serve it with this meal. But don't take this meal away. I don't know if you get me. Serve any other the endowment that God has given to you with it. Don't tamper with this meal. Once you tamper with it, you shut me down. Because this is the meal. It is the meal. Because it is truth. Truth is meal. And this is what heaven is. Helping the church is the meal for the whole church. It's not for one place. I want to speak. It's the meal for the whole church. This is the meal that the church is coming to. Why? The devil is changing grade. He used to be the serpent. That's what I'm saying. But it's no more just a mere serpent now. He has morphed. He has become a dragon. So the way you battle against him in the past, you can't handle him anymore with those weapons. You need to be armed with light. You must be armed. You must carry the armor of light. And this is to us great light. We give thanks to God this afternoon. Hallelujah.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.